This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We always begin by sending our greetings upon the Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم by reaffirming our conviction in faith in Allah سبحانه وتعالى and by acknowledging the slavehood and the servantship of the Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. The perfect example of worship of Allah, the perfect example of attaining nearness in both spiritual and physical dimensions in his worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We remember the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here today as you sit in front of me and as I stand in front of you. I remind you of these great words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, reminding us to remember Him often. See, as Muslims, we know that we make dhikr of Allah. And we're very habitual, you know, someone says, you're going to do this, you're going to, inshaAllah, you're remembering Allah. MashaAllah, bi'idhnillah. But one of the things we're equally taught is our love for the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's this famous dua that the angel Jibreel alayhi salam made. Where he said, مَنْ ذُكِرْتَ عِنْدَهُ وَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ فَقَطَعَهُ اللَّهِ فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اللَّهُمَّ آمِينَ. Jibreel once made a dua to Allah. And he said, may the one who Muhammad, you Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, are mentioned in front of him. And does not say, اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ. May Allah cut him off. May Allah keep him distant. And the Prophet said, Ameen. And I want to begin this moment and this talk with you today about sincerity to Allah by remembering the one who showed us that perfection, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. We've all had this moment in our life. I have and you have. And it's an undeniable moment. You stand to worship Allah. It's Maghrib prayer. And it's just you and Allah. You stand up and you say, Allahu Akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawm al-Din iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka. Allahu Akbar. Sami' Allah. The next day, your friend is with you. And now you're going to lead Maghrib. And he stands beside you. Just one more person. And you say, Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah, Sudais has arrived. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Alif Lam, right? This is how it is. For many, you know, we laugh, it's not really out of the humor, but it's out of nervousness. You know, we're nervous. Oh man, how many times, that, you know, have I done this? And that's the reality of life. And that is the greatest fear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for you and I. In the authentic hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ أَخْوَفَ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَى أُمَّتِي الشِّرْكَ الْخَفِيِّ. The thing I fear the most for my ummah, for my people, the one who are standing with me today and the one who will come after me, the thing I fear the most is hidden shirk.
The Sahaba, they hadn't heard this before. They said, Ya Rasulullah, wa ma shirkul khafi? What's this hidden shirk? What does this mean? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, an yaqum ar-rajul. It's a man is going to stand up to pray. فَيُزَيِّنُ صَلَاتَهُ. And that man will beautify his prayer. لِمَا يَرَى مِن نَظَرِ الرَّجُلِ إِلَيْهِ. Because that person witnesses someone watching him. A couple of years ago, I was privileged to meet the Imam of the Prophet's Masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sheikh Salah al-Badr. And, you know, I was with him for about a week or so, maybe 10 days. And every day he would lead us in the Fajr prayer. And there was a question, you know, I really wanted to ask him this question. It was on my mind. Every time I'd see him, I want to ask him. And finally, you know, I said, I have to ask. And I said, Ya Sheikh, Jazakallah khair. How do you do it? How do you stand in the spot Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood? How do you stand in the minbar where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood and spoke to people? Or where the Prophet stood to lead the ummah in prayer? Thousands and millions of people behind you. How do you have this ikhlas, sincerity to Allah? And the Shaykh gave me an answer in a sentence. And I didn't understand his answer initially. He said, the tawfiq for every moment arrives from Allah in the measure of your sincerity. Allah will help you to be sincere. Does that make sense? It didn't make sense to me at first. I didn't understand it. Allah will help you to be sincere. And this is something you and I forget all the time. You must desire Allah. You must ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must want to be near Allah. You want qurbah, nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to have maqama sidq, an honored position between you and Allah. You must work for it. You must ask for it. You must seek it. And you must sacrifice hours and money and energy and effort to receive it. A man comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says to him, Ya Rasulullah, I love you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Unzur ila ma taqul. Be careful. Consider what you're saying. These words are not easy words to be said. And the Prophet said, I love you, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then be ready for hardship and difficulty in your life. Because the one who loves me will have that hardship and difficulty flow to him. كَمَا يَسِيلُ السَّيْلُ. The way water flows in a flood. You're going to be tested. You think you can say, I'm a believer. آمَنْتُ. And Allah's not going to show you and ask you to prove it. Show you whether you believe and show others whether you claim it or not. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah tested those who came before you and made known the truth of their faith as Allah will test you. Even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tested. I want you, even if you need to close your eyes, don't fall asleep now. I want you to pretend you are in the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam today. And it's 1,430 years ago. And you're standing there. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is present in the congregation. And I want you to think to yourself at that moment. The adhan is called. and Bilal's voice invites you to pray and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you going to pray better than what you prayed your Asr prayer at? My dear brother and sister, if you say, yes, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there, the Sahaba are there, I have to change my habit, I have to change my behavior, you have fallen prey to one of the traps of shaitan. See, the shaitan, my dear brothers and sisters, is a very smart and elusive enemy. He doesn't attack you in points of your strength. He comes to you even in fact, in deeds of righteousness. In your moment of salah, you're distracted, not only leave your prayer, don't pray, the shaitan steals from your salah. That person is looking at you. You know, some brothers, they're not married yet, and they see, mashallah, there's a sister, her father comes into the jamia. Mashallah. Allahu Akbar. You know, the father-in-law, the hopeful father-in-law, he's standing there. All of a sudden, a brother's going to come, say, move out of the way, man. This is my spot. Where are you going? This is Hina. Don't you know who this is? This is inshallah, inshallah. Right? Allahu Akbar. All of a sudden now, you put on a little bit of perfume. You know? You made sure, yani, your ibadah, that is for Allah, you have a share in it. It's stealing. The shaitan steals from us. What does it mean for Allah's sake? What's ikhlas? You know, the same word that Allah uses in the Quran for sincerity is the same word for advice. If I want to give someone advice, ukhlis lah, I give him sincerity and sincere advice. Sincerity, my dear brothers and sisters, is that everything that is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is protected. You actually become very compulsive and very much in tune with what Allah needs from you and what you want to give Allah alone. And the cure to increasing your sincerity in public life is worship of Allah in private life. Some of the Sahaba, they did amazing feats of worship. And they would do it in secrecy, earning them a reward between them and Allah that no one knew about. Days before the Prophet ﷺ passed away, they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, which of us, your wives, will be the first to be with you in Jannah? Meaning, the first of us to die. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who has the longest hand. And all of the wives of the Prophet, they ran to each other. My finger's longer than yours. I'm going there soon. I'm going to be his first wife, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Jannah. And when the Prophet passed away, it was Safiyyah, radiallahu anha, who was the first to join him. And they remembered, you know, Safiyyah, she was a shorter woman in stature, and her hand was petite, it was small. And what did that mean? And it's only after a few days of her death, radiallahu anha, did people understand what the Prophet meant by long hand. She was long in her generosity. The people of Medina who were poor, all of a sudden became known. Prior to that, no one knew who was poor in Medina, because Safiyyah used to give in charity secretly, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Charity and secrecy go hand in hand. The night prayer. The worship of Allah at night. You can say, Brother Yahya, you're talking to us about tahajjud now. We're talking about fajr, akhi. You're going to tell me tahajjud, wake up a little bit before fajr? Is there even before fajr? Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the great imams, he says, he admits, 20 years of my life, 20 years, I fought myself. جَاهَدْتُ نَفْسِي 20 عَامًا. I waged battle against myself for 20 years. عَلَىٰ أَنْ أَقُومَ اللَّيْلِ. That I stand to Allah in prayer every night. وَلَمْ أَذُقْ لَذَّتَهُ. And not once in those 20 years did I enjoy it. Not even once. For 20 years. But what did he do? 20 years he prayed. And it's only after 20 years that he began to enjoy and taste the ladha and the joy of worship. Which means he began to enjoy the sincerity in his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wish to give three pieces of advice to my brothers and sisters here today. And being where we are, and privileged in the way you are held at a higher rate of accountability to others. I'm sorry, my dear brothers and sisters, do not think that you sitting with me here today in this comfort and opulence are going to be given the same ease and mercy and compassion as one who is starving and dying of thirst in the deserts of Somalia. It's impossible. Do not think that you will be given the same ease and comfort as one whose home is being raided in Palestine. Do not believe that you will be given the same treatment and equal terms as one who had no place to pray, who had no opportunity to learn, who did not receive a message. So my first advice to those who I love in the way of Allah. Sincerity requires work. You can't just wish to be sincere and say, Ya Allah, this salah, you know, help me to pray to you, only you, oh Allah. Oh Allah, protect me from thinking of anyone else or not for anything. I want this to be only for you, oh Allah. It takes effort, and that effort is shown in your private life. You know what I'm talking about, private life. The young brothers and sisters here today, you know what I'm talking about. A sister sitting alone in her room, she has her laptop, her phone. Twitter, Facebook, chatting, MSN. Her father, brother, aunt, uncle, whoever walks in the room, click, 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 click. The screens all minimize. Who are you talking to? No one. Khadija. Oh, what's Khadija doing up at 11:30 at night? Oh, she's talking to me, Baba. Khadija now is code name for Muhammad Ahmad Hassan. Right? Ikhlas takes effort. It takes a desire for you to purge your private life. How are you in private? What is your relationship between you and Allah? Second, your friends. And I don't mean to offend anyone, my dear brothers and sisters here today. Sometimes when we think about the shaitan, we're thinking about the wrong thing. In every instance in the Qur'an, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the shayateen, He begins by talking about the shaitan from amongst and from those who are human. Shayateen al-ins wal-jinn. He speaks about the human shaitan before the jinn, the unseen shaitan. Why? Because your greatest shaitan could be sitting right next to you, driving you somewhere. It could be the person who texts you on the phone, I'll come around and pick you up. It could be the person who tells you, oh, don't go to class now, we'll go later, let's just go out somewhere. The shaitan is not just this invisible, unattainable, intangible spirit. The shaitan could be the person calling you on your mobile, saying, hey, what are you doing? Let's go out. He says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Right?
All of a sudden he hangs up, you get scared. Ah! It was the shaitan. Right? La wallahi. No, this is the truth. And the Prophet ﷺ says, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalilih. A person is on the way of life, the system of living of his best friend. You want to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person you roll with, the one who's taking you here and there, is away from Allah? How's it going to work? How are you going to develop any relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Third is tawbah. See, all these things, you know, our prayer, wanting to get married and stepping on your father-in-law's toes to show me follow the sunnah. You know, come here ankle to ankle, brother. Right? You know? Don't you know? Look, you're going to see me every day. Get close. Right? All these emotions and at times stolen moments from our life that the shaitan tricks us in. And that we lose our way with Allah, it requires tawbah. Turn back to Allah. What is tawbah? It means you turn to Allah. You are never more than one step away from Allah. It's just one step. It could be a step back from haram. It could be a step forward in halal. You are never further than one choice, one step, one moment, one prayer back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As much as you fill this world with sin, Allah says, if you come to me with asking forgiveness, I forgive you. Allahu Akbar. At-tawbah. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. Return to your Lord and give yourself to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give yourself to Allah. You know, my dear brother, sometimes you look at the worldly life that we live today and it seems to be not enough. I met a man, and I want to conclude with this, who was a quadriplegic. You know, he can no longer move his arms or his legs. Before his car accident, he was a normal, healthy adult. Even more than that, he was a person of massive wealth, immense wealth. And I sat with him, and he said, "Ya, Akhi Yahya, in my bank, I have over $200 million. Cash, not property, cash. And at night, I want to scratch my back and I can't pay anyone to come in and do it." Allahu Akbar. I want you to think about that. Because I have all this money, I even have nurses, but I feel shy in the middle of the night. I feel shy to wake her up from her private room or him up from his private room. That the only reason I wake them up, they get up and they put their clothes and they come into my room and they say, "What's wrong?" And I say, "Can you scratch my back?" So I say, "Oh, I really want my back, but I can't." Even with the money, even with the help, even with people living in my home, I can't do it. My final advice is recognize your ni'mah. Appreciate what you have, akhi. Appreciate what you have, ukhti. From this day, look at your husband with different eyes. I'm not talking about contact lenses. Brother comes home, his wife's got blue eyes. Where's my wife? What happened? La. See the world with different eyes. See your wife and your children and your friends with eyes that don't just look physically, but look from your heart.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in the Qur'an that there are people يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامِ. There are some who live in this world enjoying it, eating in it as if they're animals. But they have no enjoyment. Some people, Allah describes them in the Qur'an, لَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. Eyes they cannot see with. أَذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. Ears they can't hear with. قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. Hearts they cannot understand with. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They are those cattle. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. They are the ones who are heedless. They don't know that what is for Allah is for Allah alone. Don't join with Allah anything, not even yourself. Sometimes we join ourselves with Allah. And you look to yourself and you say, MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. Take a look at this. House, education, family, children. What's missing? Health. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I worked hard. How hard did you work? Wallahi hard, ya akhi. I studied for 3 hours every night. Hard labor. I was chained to my desk. I did it myself. I built myself. And you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't join anything, not even yourself, with Allah. That's why you say, Ma sha Allah. This is what Allah gave me, willed for me, blessed me with. Ma sha Allah. Allah gave this. This is the will of Allah for me. La quwwata illa billah. I have no power or ability to do anything except that which Allah has blessed me with. My last word to my brothers and sisters here today, inshallah I will see you tomorrow. But this is my last talk with you today. I want to leave you with one of my most loved hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي, every one of my ummah يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ, shall enter Jannah. MashaAllah. That's you, and you, and up there you, and Yahya Ibrahim. InshaAllah. All of us, inshaAllah, are in Jannah. إِلَّا, except مَنْ أَبَى, the one who says no. Could you imagine, they bring you, the angels are pulling you, come to you, I don't want to go, man, just leave me alone. شَعَوْ ذِلْجَنَّةِ. What do you mean, no good? Why? Why you don't want to go? Who's going to refuse Jannah? إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. Who's going to not let himself go to Jannah? And the Prophet says simply, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي. The one who obeys me in the way they live their life, دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, shall make it easy to Jannah. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي. And the one who disobeys me in the way they live their life, Abba, has said no. Think of those words of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I ask you to make dua for me and my wife and my children, and I make dua for you and your wife and husband and your children today, sincerely from my heart. I pray that Allah blesses you with every good in this dunya and gives you even greater in the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلي اللهم وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.